VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Boucher with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. Richard, you take us in order to say what is to be done about questions raised about the side effects or the effects of a vaccine to people on a vast canvas.
Yes.
You take us to the 1976 episode of swine flu, the Swine Flu Act of 76, which led to unhappy results. Eventually, I believe the government walked backwards from recommending it to everyone. What is it in tort law that is relevant to this investigation of was the recommendation of the government sometimes obliged because you lost your job if you were not following through the CDC's recommendations? What is the demonstration of willful misconduct? What is the demonstration of total exemption being unconstitutional?
Government? Okay, this is a very long. Let's just start first with the 1976 situation and then contrast it with the way in which the case is going today. 1976 is a year in which we started to see a major expansion of what is called product liability law. Tort law, that is the law of civil wrongs in which people are not punishing you criminally, but they're asking you to pay damages for harms that you caused. Associated with products, i.e. things that you put into the market. In 1970, this field was virtually inert. By 1976, it had really expanded enormously, and that was a year in which I was hired by the American Insurance Association, now merged out of existence, to write a report for them on what was going on in products liability law, because the insurance industry knew very little bit about a stuff that was virtually inert. So you're in a huge legal transition, and what happens is President Ford says, we think this thing is going to be very serious. It was wildly overstated. We want to get people to be vaccinated. And so he goes to the major vaccine companies and says, you have to prepare us this vaccine. And they say, we can prepare this vaccine, but we have no idea what the tort law is going to look like, particularly when it comes to the question of warnings. And so what happened is the administration in the Swine Flu Act of 1976 cut a deal. You produce the vaccine, make sure that it's produced according to specification, and we'll take all the risks associated with the warnings. Well, the warnings turned out to be absolutely god-awful, terrible warning, and the government didn't even try to defend their adequacy. The first rule about any warning is if it doesn't make specific reference to what happens with pregnant women, you know that there's some serious problem. Because that's where huge numbers of malformations could start to take place, thalidomide and the like, a classic illustration. Well, they did nothing that was adequate. It turned out 40 million people took the vaccine, and by December of that year, it was clear that there was no swine flu epidemic. And then all of a sudden, many cases of Guillain-Barré disease syndrome, which is a very painful nervous condition, occasionally resulting in death, started to emerge, and all these people brought suits. Well, the government essentially had already agreed to substitute the liabilities that would otherwise be borne by the companies and to take it on to themselves. Well, Gerald Ford got up there and he said, look, it would be a travesty for this thing, for us not to compensate people whom we've asked to take the vaccine. And so I'm basically saying, if you could prove the actual injuries, we'll pay for it. And in the end, what happened is the government paid, I think it was over $4 billion. And in 1984, there was this case called Unthank, Virgil Unthank was the person, in which they said you give a liberal construction to the statutes that offer compensation. And it would, to use that word again, be a travesty not to do that. So the swine flu vaccine essentially said the government will take on the liabilities when it urges people to do things. When you move forward, It's not urging people to do things. It's mandating that they do things. And at the same time, what they do is they pass this emergency use authorization statute, which purports to give not only the drug companies immunity from liability, but the government immunity from liability, except in the cases of willful misconduct, a very pregnant phrase that it's difficult to make. And so now the issue is going to be, is given what happened with the swine flu case, is the government going to be able to sustain its position, A, that it has no liability, and there are going to be two lines of attack. One, that it's a willful form of misconduct. And the other is that the statute, which takes away a tort remedy from you and gives you nothing in exchange, is an unconstitutional taking of property, that a position that was taken in both the workman's compensation cases and the automobile no-fault cases.
And therefore, where we are is in unexplored territory about these vaccines. There are several companies involved, Pfizer, Moderna. And all these companies, have they prepared for an investigation at the scale of what the 1976 suggests?
I have no idea what they're doing. Look, I have worked as a defense lawyer in some of these cases. And the first thing you do when you're preparing is you prepare in secret. Because you don't want to give signals to the plaintiff's bar that this is an area which you ought to attack. I think there are already some cases having to do with the fact that people have lost their jobs because of coercive behavior. The liability cases, to my knowledge, have not yet emerged. I have no idea as to how this is going to happen, but the one thing you can say is each side is going to do an enormous amount of investigative work to see the extent to which they could make these things go. They may try to do it under the National Vaccine for Children Act of 1986. They may try to say that the statute's inapplicable. They may try to do it under the tort law. They may seek some kind of administrative remedies. One could not be sure at this point as to the way in which this thing will be played.
So I have been involved. We're early days. We just have 30 seconds. We're early days, and this is under investigation now, to your knowledge, under investigation.
Yes, and what's going to happen is if you can prove that the vaccine caused, in your particular case, some adverse event, a stroke or myocarditis and so forth, then you're already in the ballpark, and the government is going to have a very hard time to defend itself on the grounds that the warnings it gave were completely inaccurate. They didn't do anything to warn against this. They compelled you to take these particular drugs, and then they dissimulate publicly. So if you put all these factors together, the outcome could be anything from no liability because the statute defense holds, or to punitive damages because this was thought to be willful and wanton. Good day, John. It's a wonderful story.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, anticipating years, decades, history ahead of us about the pandemic of 2020 to 2022 and continuing. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.